You are listening to Sheep Might Fly, a podcast of serialized fiction written and read by Tansy Rayner Roberts. Today I'll be reading the very last installment of Tance Prince's Dance. Thank you for sticking with me through this, the longest so far of my podcast serials. Part 14. Pitch Perfect. "I thought I'd find you here," said Amira. Kai quirked an eyebrow at her and said nothing. He was back on the rookery beat. It was Saturday morning. The pitch was freshly shovelled after the night's extra heavy snowfall, and his boyfriend was playing for the hounds. Where else was he likely to be? She huffed and sat next to him, wrapped in about three coats and as many scarves. "This not talking to me thing is getting old." Kai agreed, but it wasn't like he was the one owing apologies. "Fine," she snapped. "I crossed a boundary. I told myself that I was teaching you an important lesson about needing to be ruthless in our job. But the truth is, it was a story and I wanted it. So I took it. The end." She wasn't going to apologize then. Kai shrugged. "That story you filed yesterday," Amira went on, "about the hounds and how they tracked down the fairies responsible for the shoe prank and banished them from the castle. That was a good piece. I mean, clearly bullshit and a cover-up of some kind, but you covered your butt with all those direct sources and quotes really well. And your writing isn't bad." "Thanks," said Kai. The hounds emerged from their locker room, armoured up and ready for the game. The royals took a little longer straggling out. The princes had not yet made an appearance. Kai barely noticed that, because Dennis was there in his rookery armour and spiked helmet, all golden and pink like something out of a nursery rhyme about heroes and mountain gods. When he saw Kai watching him, Dennis went pinker about the face, but tipped a wink in his direction. "Oh my God," Amira whispered, "we have to be friends again so I can catch up on this major piece of gossip. Kai, how can you even stand not telling me everything?" "I'll think about it," said Kai, smiling to himself. So, the world was definitely ending, because this was the second time in the history of Castle Charming that Chase was up and dressed before Cyrus. Pushing down any rose petal-related anxieties, because the hounds had sworn black and blue that the castle was fairy-free these days, Chase barreled into Cyrus's room to wake him up. "Rise and shine, big bro. Time to rook our little hearts out. Big game, fresh snowfall last night, so bonus potential frostbite. Ass out of bed, pronto." Cyrus grunted and opened his eyes. He looked like shit. He'd been quiet all week since they returned from the magical dance hall, or wherever it was they'd been spirited away. He hadn't bothered to come to any of the trainings, barely left his room. Meanwhile, Chase felt energized, ready to face the world for once instead of running away from it. "Give it up," Cyrus groaned. "You don't have to pretend, Chase. I know you hate rookery. I'm not going to any more fucking parties with you anytime soon, so deal over. Be free. You do you." Chase stared down at his brother, stricken. "You don't want me to play." Was Cyrus ill? Was he a changeling? "I don't even want me to play," said Cyrus, smacking his pillow over his own face. "Why bother?" "Shut up. Get your gear on. Now." Chase didn't know what the hell was going on, but he was fixing this. He pulled his brother's pillow away and threw it across the room. Cyrus didn't even look pissed off. "Chase," he said flatly. "I don't hate it," Chase blurted. Maybe speaking the truth was addictive, like everything else that felt good. "Playing rookery with you is high on the extremely short list of things I don't hate about living in this castle, so don't let me down." Cyrus stared at Chase for a long time. And then he got his ass out of bed. Dennis helped Jack adjust her straps. "Think you can stop swooning over your boy long enough to play a full match?" she asked in her usual deadpan voice. "Are you kidding?" said Dennis. "Have you seen him? You're going to get 5 minutes of my attention at a time, tops." It still felt strange, talking about this out loud with his friends, with his sergeant and corporal, like it was completely normal. Like there was nothing to hide. He was trying not to think about how much lying he was going to have to do when he went home for his next visit. In the meantime, the truth felt pretty great. He darted a glance at Kai and they exchanged giddy smiles. Even with the entire pitch between them, it felt like they were the only ones here. "What did I do to deserve this?" Jack sighed. Dennis frowned and turned back to her. There was a matter he'd been meaning to raise with her, the one thing they never, ever talked about. "Jack, no. Whatever you're about to say, no. We have to tell them. I can't keep something this big from Kai, not now." Jack looked horrified. "No," she whispered fiercely. "We don't have any proof. If we say anything and we're wrong, it will wreck them." She was right about the lack of proof. All they had was a feeling, and really, they didn't know anything about Kai and the Charming family that literally any other person who saw them together could not guess. Still, if Kai was Camilla's long-lost twin, if he really was a Prince Charming, he had a right to know. Jack was thinking about her people, about the royal family and the castle, but all Dennis could think about was Kai and how he wanted to blurt out the truth every time he saw his stupid, beautiful face. "We have to get proof," he said in a low voice. "Fine," Jack said impatiently. "You're right, but not today." Chase and Cyrus turned up late, earning cheers and boos from the crowd. They were seized upon by their team with mocking slaps and hair ruffles. "Not today," Dennis promised. "But soon." The Royals were 2 points up, and Ziggy was limping when they broke for half-time. She grabbed a handful of orange slices and took them with her, to where the Sarge leaned against the benches, watching the game. For once, he didn't look like he was longing to play. "How you holding up, kid?" he asked her. "Did you see how I tripped the Countess of Argyle and I didn't even get a penalty?" she said proudly. "Yep, you're definitely getting the hang of the game." He smiled, but it didn't reach his eyes. She handed him an orange slice. "How are you doing?" He hadn't spoken about Saladin and Miss Clover, not since coming home. But it was clear by now that Ziggy's fairy godmother had taken the soldier at his word and kept him. "You know me, kid," said the Sarge. "Job's never done. One day at a time. Shit like that." "Duty gives you something to do," she said pointedly, "so you don't need to think about your troubles." He bit savagely into the orange slice. "Don't need to welcome you to that club." "If you ever wanted to talk to them, I mean, I could make another candle." Sarge sputtered orange juice over his hand. "No more wishes, cadet. I'm serious. Keep a lid on it. If there's one thing we don't need in this castle, it's magic." "No more wishes," she promised. "I'm done with all that. I actually like it here." "Yeah," said the Sarge, glancing around the snow-edged pitch and up at the butter-yellow Castle Charming, looming over them all. "It's all right, as places go." A whistle blew. "Oi, Zig, get your scrawny ass over here. We have royals to flatten," yelled Corporal Jack. Ziggy grinned so hard her face went warm all over. "Settle down," she yelled back. "I know you can't win without me, but let's not make it too obvious." "Oh, big words from such a tiny hound," Prince Chase teased as Ziggy ran back to her team. Her team, her castle, her people. She knew now that she would do anything to protect them all. Even if that meant holding on to a dried bluebell or two. For next time. "Ready to go?" Dennis asked, shoving the spiky helmet down over her close-cropped hair. "Yeah," said Ziggy, sucking the juice out of one last orange slice and spitting out the rind. "Yes," Absolutely. Bring it on. Thanks for listening to Sheep Might Fly. That was the last installment of Dance Prince's Dance. I'll be putting this novella out as an ebook later in March with a fantastic cover by Katie Shuttleworth. It goes to my Patreon supporters first because they literally pay for this podcast to happen. Then in April, it'll go on general sale in ebook stores. Next up on Sheep Might Fly, I'll be finishing my series of Love and Roman Punk serials with the final story of the collection, appropriately named Last of the Roman Punks. Then I'll be sharing a recently published novella that I'm really excited about, Death at the Dragon Circus, which appeared in the anthology And Then. Later in the year, we'll have a new Belladonna University story called The Bromances, in which our fake geek girl witchy rock band friends are going to go on a road trip to a music festival. I also hope to podcast my teen superhero story from Kaleidoscope, Cookie Cutter Superhero. And maybe we'll squeeze in another Castle Charming story before the end of the year. That's the plan. You can follow me on Twitter and Tumblr at TansyRR and at Sheep Might Fly. Like my page on Facebook at TansyRRoberts and collect a free ebook of my story Fake Geek Girl by following the link in the show notes. If you enjoy the podcast, consider pledging $1 a month at my Patreon page to help keep it going. See you next week for historical cosplayers and airships and ancient Roman vampires, which are the best kind of vampires. So see you then. Bye.